And welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed we are, and it is Season 4, Episode 11.
Indeed it is.
What are we talking about today, Drew?
I mean, this one's all yours. You kind of came up with this topic, so I think you may as well introduce it.
Okay, so it's about happy endings in video games. Mm-hmm. So unless you have been living under a rock or going through some sort of hermit phase, you may be aware that there was a royal wedding in the UK this weekend. So yeah, so
I kind of just to go off track and just for a moment already, like, I almost completely missed the royal wedding. It was amazing. Like,
really? How did you do that?
Yeah, like, on the day before, someone told me, oh yeah, it's the royal wedding tomorrow, and I'd had no idea. I thought it was like another month away.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, watch TV news. Mm. I don't, like, I hadn't seen any of the media buzz around it, and just, yeah, completely missed out, and people were kind of amazed that I didn't know. I was like, that's fine, I'm kind of glad that I missed all that.
Yeah, it crept up on me, to be honest. It was only when I thought, I wonder when that is, because, I wanted to watch it for, like, sort of cultural, momentous cultural moment that it was. I wanted to see it, and, my friend Alex is the, like, type of person who'd always watch a royal wedding, I kind of said, are we doing anything? And she's like, yeah, we can do. as a result of the royal wedding and everything being about weddings, I was thinking about weddings in video games, and then it got to, well, okay, I can't think of any weddings really, but then I was like, what about happy ever after endings? And then I did a tweet at the weekend asking people, for games with happy endings, and we didn't come up with that many considering the amount of people that responded. It's just basically we're going to have a chat about that and a few games that we did come up with that have happy endings and why it is. Why don't games do happy endings? As a rule, they don't. Part of the conversation, it seemed that older games, so what we'd term retro games now, maybe sort of 80s, the Japanese games tend to have happy endings.
Mario always had a happy ending. You rescue the princess at the end. Kind of Mega Man, you always defeat the Dr. Wily. Link always saves Zelda and saves Hyrule, and Sonic always saves his planet. They're kind of very simplistic happy endings in which, yes, you win and now everyone is fine.
And they're linear in terms of story, so that's one aspect, I suppose. I think one of your comments was game narratives have become more complex, endings are the best we get is like a bittersweet. It's like exactly. They succeed but or
I mean, I think that was definitely kind of one of the early ways in which early narrative games started trying to distance themselves from the kind of beep beep video games that had gone before. The ones that wanted to tell a decent story kind of did that by, like, having an ending which you think about afterwards and kind of dwell on afterwards and, take that to a discussion forum or to whatever it is. I think that was a sort of a conscious way in which they tried to distinguish themselves from what had gone before.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate to say it, but, like, David Cage was someone who did that very early on with Fahrenheit. I was going to say Fahrenheit 9/11 then, but that's the Moore film. Fahrenheit 450. No, that's another thing. It's just called Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy. If you're of that persuasion. the non-UK persuasion, yes.
So what was the ending of Fahrenheit?
I've completely forgotten.
Itself
from my memory, but I remember that it wasn't just, a happy, nice ending.
Yeah, so there wasn't a flag going up a flagpole and...
No, exactly.
Which was the traditional. Yeah, so I suppose there's also the element that, which I suppose is carrying on from what you just said, is that it's that race to be, in inverted commas, mature.
Absolutely.
And that happy endings are somehow seen as immature or childish because, you know, real life doesn't have happy endings. No. Kids.
And, you know, I don't think that's an opinion that is entirely without merit. I think I don't think I'd want most of my games to have happy endings. I do like a little ambiguity. I do like, this is, you know, not everything is perfect. Mm. And there is something to dwell on after I finish the game that stays with me. Because, you know, if a game finishes with you saving the girl, saving the world, and then that's it. That's going to just, okay, well, that's what it is then. And then I'm going to go off and not really think about that anymore. And I'm going to probably forget it within a few days. You know, if you've got something like Spec Ops The Line, which had one of the kind of most infamous downer endings of that era of video games, that was something that got huge amounts of discussions on forums. And, you know, it stuck with me a long time after. And it was something that I considered when playing further games, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've got the perfect example then. My my example of a happy ending, the one game that I can think of that I've played recently or ever, in fact, that has a truly happy ending is Mortician's Tale, which is, you know, about a woman who works as a mortician. So it's about death, but it's a death positive game, so it's about sort of unpicking the West's kind of fear of death and distancing of death. And so it sounds like, it, you know, for Western ears, it sounds like a really gloomy prospect, but it has a truly happy ending. And it's also thought provoking. So I think a happy ending doesn't have to be fluffy, or shallow, or, you know. So I think there is room. I think this exercise, you know, that I started at the weekend, just suggests to me that there is room for some interesting writing with happy endings. They're probably harder to do successfully, and I think that's partly why we steer away from them, perhaps, because it's easier to have a hard-hitting death, or like the world is, you know, still shit, or whatever, our best friend turns out to be a demon, or whatever it is. You know, it's harder to have an impactful and happy ending, but I think it's possible. I think A Mortician's Tale proves that really well.
Yeah, and as soon as you said it, I realized it kind of contradicted what I'd said earlier. I thought, oh yeah, there is, that is. I think in the context in A Mortician's Tale, there is kind of the context that we are talking about death, so it is really surprising that that game ends on a happy note, and in general, that it's kind of, it's not a happy game, but it's not a sad game.
Yeah,
it's emotional. I think I said it. It's emotionally resonant without being like maudlin or delving into the. It does, you know, touch on like the kind of sad things about death and the way that it affects, you know, the people involved.
Yeah,
but it's never kind of, oh, isn't this sad? Isn't this terrible? It spends its time inviting you to think about the stuff that we don't normally think about from the perspective of people who are not on the kind of the other side of the death, you know, industry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a brilliant game in terms
it really
of
is,
what
yes.
it does. Yeah, it is. Everybody should play it.
I just happened to pick it up last weekend just by coincidence and play it through, and I've been looking forward to it for a while.
Yeah,
and it was in a bundle which I bought, and yeah, I just spent like half. It's about maybe an hour long, maybe not even that, but it's just a really good experience, which I heartily recommend to anyone who is interested listening to this podcast. So to go back to what I was saying, in that context, a happy ending is notable because it's not the kind of game or subject matter that you would expect a happy ending to be put on. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think if it's still if you have a, you know, a AAA game, which is, you know, your standard kind of hero story, and that ends with a happy ending, it's kind of less notable.
I'm not convinced. I think there's room. I think there's room for Ellie and Joel to have a happy ending.
Okay, I mean,
whether it's like, it doesn't have to be that everything is perfect, because like, happiness is a moment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just has to be that, I don't know, they find a little piece of paradise or something in, you know, the horror that is that world that they live in.
That never happens in, like, The Walking Dead, did it? This place looks, you know, kind of nice, and then it's not kind of nice, and then we move on. Last of Us is an interesting example, because that first game has, you know, kind of one of the most... It has a really interesting ending, which is, it's just a moment between Ellie and Joel, and like, some minor spoilers, but people should have played The Last of Us at this point. It's just Ellie asking Joel, "Are you lying to me?" And he says no, and she kind of, like, the ambiguity of it is that whether she believes him or not, you could kind of read it both ways, to, you know, on how she reacts. And it's just a really interesting moment, and I think it's the perfect place to end that game. And I kind of think it's way superior to any sort of, like, happy ending that they could have put in. It's brilliant because it's left not bittersweet.
I love an ambiguous ending. I do, but all I'm saying is that, like, we don't have any happy end. We have hardly any.
That's absolutely true.
So what I'm saying is, there's room for some happy endings. Not that I want all my games to end happily.
No.
It's just, like, it's just something that we don't seem to be exploring in games for some reason, which is quite interesting. Someone on the tweet someone on the chat for that said, "Oh, well, happy endings don't lend themselves very well to sequels."
Nope, that's certainly true.
Yeah, but is it, though? Because as a writer, it's pretty easy to unpick a happy ending.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, you know, like, Star Wars ends on a happy note, and then there is more.
Yeah, exactly.
When I said that's certainly true, I'm just, I was on reflex there. I don't really believe that. As we said, we had sort of trouble coming up with a lot of happy endings in modern games or recent games. Like, the only one I could really come up with was Uncharted 4, which kind of... It's one of the few games that ends on, like, it is a really happy note. It's kind of, like, the whole game is, like, Nate sort of struggling with the idea that he's going to need to stop doing what he's doing, stop being an adventurer, but he finds, Elena finds a way for him to make it work at the end, and, like, they kind of, like, it's very explicit that they live happily ever after. There is an epilogue in which we see just how happily they lived afterwards, which is, and that was a really nice ending.
And it's just as powerful as the ambiguous ending of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it's, you know, the studio that's known for really good writing has basically covered that, you know, those two different tones.
Yeah.
In their games. And then what else did we come up with? So in terms of weddings, we kind of came up short, but Dragon Age Inquisition
does have one. You have to kind of work for it. You really do it. Like, I think you have to do a certain... You have to finish the game. You have to obviously do one of the romantic subplots that game contains, which is well worth doing, because apart from one, which I really don't like, they're all really well done. Then you have to, I think, maybe finish... It's either a specific DLC or all the DLC. I think it might be your reward for just, like, doing all of the main stuff. That certain ones of those romantic options end in a wedding, as far as I know. Not the one I never kind of got that far, because I didn't have the DLC when I first played Dragon Age Inquisition. But it does end with...
Yeah.
Something pretty big.
Yeah, and then apparently Street Fighter 2 has a link a wedding. Yeah, my friend told me. He's like, "What? Haven't you played Street Fighter 2? There is clearly a wedding."
Like, I have
So.
no idea which one that is, because like, I finished Street Fighter 2, and I don't think it happened in the one that with the character that I finished it as.
Yeah,
I
he
can't even
did
remember
say,
who it
but I
was.
can't remember which character he said. Yeah, that was my friend Des. He was just like, "God, how could you not remember that?" And but those were the only weddings we could come up with off the top of our heads, or like doing some head scratching.
Like, there must be some. Yeah, I'm sure there must be one that I'm missing. Like, we were talking earlier about whether there's one in the Final Fantasy games,
Yeah,
and like, I
because I would
can't
have thought
think
that would
of
be
one.
like prime kind of, because Japanese media likes sort of putting weddings in. They're in anime and, you know, sort of. So yeah, I'd be really surprised. I mean, I don't keep up with those games that much, so yeah, I'm not sure. So if anybody knows of a Final Fantasy wedding, that'd be good to know.
I can think of a couple, but they're not like main. There's one in Final Fantasy IX, which is kind of just it's treated more as a joke than anything else. Two of your kind of side characters as part of a quest end up kind of getting married in a jokey way, and then there is one. There's one in Final Fantasy X, but you're there to stop it, and it's kind of horrible if it happens. Yeah, there's not. Despite the kind of overt, like, sort of romantic themes that are in all of those games, there's not a moment where it's like, okay, we should do a wedding now, as far as I remember, anyway. Like, it's kind of hard to plan a wedding while you're in the middle of saving the world from, like, kind of some otherworldly horror which wants to whatever they want to do in a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, but I thought like in a, because they like sort of lavish cutscenes, so I just thought that in, you know, as an epilogue kind of, because, you know, the beautiful cities they all live in kind of thing, I'd, yeah, just expect kind of really pretty fireworks, and I could just imagine it in a Final Fantasy game.
And yeah, and
So.
it is often kind of fairy tale princess characters who appear in those
Exactly.
games. Not always, I will say. Like, Final Fantasy is deeper than that. But yeah, there's
It
certainly.
definitely has that element to it, doesn't it? That yeah, so yeah, it'd be, I yeah, it surprises me that they don't. And then you said even the endings don't tend to be out and out happy. They're kind of bizarre, a bit sort of left field.
Like, Final Fantasy VII has a kind of ambiguous ending in which it's kind of implied that the whole world is, like, sort of not destroyed, but certainly brought to ruin. Final Fantasy VIII is, oh, that's very complex. That does kind of have a happy ending. There is a sort of epilogue in which they all, like, everyone you want to get together ends up getting together, but it's weird and more complex than that, and has all sorts of weird time travel stuff going on.
Yeah, so complex endings as opposed to happy. Then we were talking about Journey.
Journey, yeah.
Sort of uplifting, spiritually uplifting ending
Yes,
for that
absolutely.
one, but sort of also ambiguous.
It kind of is. So you make the journey, and then I think the ending is kind of open to interpretation, in which, again, I'm going to kind of mildly spoil Journey, although, something you should have played by now. If you can, go and play it, and then come back to this podcast and continue. But yeah, there's a moment where you reach the end of the journey, kind of the most arduous part, and your character maybe. Your character collapses, and maybe they're just, tired, or maybe they're. What happens next is that they are woken up by kind of godlike creatures. Or the kind of deity creatures that you've been seeing and represented in the art around the game and
Yeah, and the
the
tapestries and stuff.
yes, and they kind of suddenly empower you, and the last bit, the last section of that game is a very sort of joyous kind of soaring progression where you move, like, you leap from kind of mountains to clouds to it's very uplifting, but yeah. it's ambiguous as to whether that's what was waiting for you at the end of the journey or whether you have died and this is, you know, you moving on to the next stage, which
I suppose,
like, there's overlap between those two things.
Yeah, from a spiritual point of view, that's kind of like, I don't know, reaching nirvana or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So. It's definitely got the kind of visual language of an ascension to...
Yeah, and those are all the happy endings we could come to. I suppose all the Uncharted games kind of end on a jokey... A sort of sense of relief... We've done it, but my arm's broken, and you know.
it's the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade thing, or the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where you know you find the treasure, but then it turns out you didn't really want it.
Yeah,
and you know the true treasure was friendship all along, and it's
or almost like the end of the Lost Boys or something, where, you know, just like all hell's just broken loose, we've made it through, someone says a funny line and we all laugh and...
I think they all end on a joke, the Uncharted
games. Yeah, they do, So, so I suppose they always end on... They always end on a laugh anyway, so...
They have upbeat endings. There's no Empire Strikes Back in the Uncharted trilogy.
No.
There's no, oh god, what are we going to do now? We'll have to wait for the sequel.
Whereas most AAA games do go for the Empire ending.
So there's kind of the Halo 2 ending was one of those the Halo 2 ending wasn't really, it was kind of just I don't know if you've ever played Halo 2, but it kind of just stops mid-sentence.
I can't remember the ending.
Basically you go out to I would be hard pressed at this point to remember any of the driving plot of the Halo games, but what I remember is that you have an encounter with someone who kind of seems like a mini boss at the end of Halo 2, and then you get on a ship and you fly back to Earth, and it kind of just cuts off blankly as you're going back to Earth, and it's so kind of blatantly setting up a sequel, which it didn't need to, because it, you know, it was Halo. We needed
Halo. We knew.
But it just doesn't kind of end its story. Mass Effect 2 had something. Mass Effect 2 in general was emulating The Empire Strikes Back in tone in quite a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it certainly did that with the ending, which, as I recall, is kind of, okay, you save the day, you stop the human reaper, and it's actually in itself a really, it is a happy ending, I would say, because depending on what choices you make, the good ending is, like, you stop the bad guys, and you are suddenly very much empowered, and you kind of break away from your employer and say, okay, I'm not working for you anymore, I've got my own thing now. It's very empowering, and then the kind of, it's not post-credits, but the epilogue is that, okay, well, now you see the Reaper invasion, which is now coming. So
sort of happy, and I suppose the end of 3, like the actual final, you know, sort of cutscene.
We could talk a lot about the ending of Mass Effect 3.
I was trying to avoid that. But you know, the cutscene after you've put down the controller, as it were, where they land on the planet, you know, your team that you finished up with. Kind of land on the planet and look out into the sunset, really. That's kind of an Empire ending as well. We've won, but we've lost too.
It's really difficult to pin down that ending, because no matter what you choose, there's nothing that's super happy. There isn't a good ending, but there also kind of isn't really a bad ending. Mass Effect always went for saying, well, this is not good and evil that we're trying to set up a dichotomy between. It's Paragon and Renegade, which was, whatever you think of that, the endings did not like there was nothing that was particularly terrible. Whatever happened, you kind of that's what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, from a more mechanical perspective, it was the same cutscene kind of reskinned three different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, I know you said you were trying to avoid talking about the Mass Effect 3 ending, so I'll stop there.
Yeah, because otherwise we'll just go down that rabbit hole, and yeah. That's a whole other thing. Those were the most upbeat endings we could come up with, basically. Lots of people said Zelda games seem to always have happy endings. Mm-hmm.
BioShock has a random example. It has two different endings. The premise of that game being that you can either save the little sisters or kill them and harvest their Adam. It's not a particularly subtle binary that one has. you can save the children or you can murder the children to your end. But if you do save all the children and go through a sort of a good aligned run, what happens there is really happy. You get out of Rapture, you save all the little girls, and you die very happy as an old man with all these young girls that you saved kind of, hero worshipping you and just having...
Wow.
Yeah, like, thinking back on it, it's weirder than I remember. But, you do just get a sort of harem of... Yeah, no. it's very, very heavy, and then you contrast it with the bad ending where you become, ultra Hitler, and just, it's very, yeah.
Hmm. What about Fable?
I don't know, I could never sit through those games.
Really? I loved Fable. Mm. I think there were ways to have a happy end. Well, there's the one where you become king.
Yeah.
The thing is, then, it also, you're always battling the sort of binary choices.
Yeah.
But I think there are moments where you celebrate and you become king. I can't remember. I'm terrible at remembering the endings for games, I've discovered since starting this conversation. Unless I've played them relatively recently or a lot. I just thought it was an interesting conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't games do many happy endings? I definitely think there's room for more happy endings in games.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the complete, everything's tied up neatly with a bow, but just a bit more uplift.
Yeah.
Upbeat. I think there's definitely room for that. And it kind of leads on from Bride Code's kind of call for more tend and befriend games, where everything doesn't have to be solved with violence. And, I just think that games are at a point where we can explore different things now, sort of narratively and, in terms of gameplay and stuff. So, let us know some of your happy endings that you've had in games. I wonder if things like maybe visual novels, dating sims, I'm sure there are some genres like that that probably traditionally have more happy endings.
I can think of examples both ways. The Phoenix Wright games, they always kind of end with you. Well, the thing is, the problem is that even if something happy ending, even if something happy happens at the end of a Phoenix Wright game, it's always still off the back of someone having been murdered, and you have to you have to prove your client innocent you have to prove your client innocent of committing the murder and find the guy who actually did it. So even if you do get the right answer, someone still got killed. I was going to mention Final Fantasy VI earlier, which has the close of a specifically happy ending, in which you win. But the problem is that halfway through that game, the villain kind of does destroy the world. He achieves his goals and throws the world into ruin, and the rest of the game is you kind of trying to claw it back from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if there is a happy ending, it's kind of... It's often tempered by what's gone before. You could even say, the Uncharted games have always kind of had this problem where the tone of the game is not necessarily consistent with the actions that you have.
Like,
so Uncharted 4 had a very happy ending for Nate and Elena, not so much for the, you know, 1,000 or so mercenaries that they killed along the way.
But at
that point, we're kind of just...
We're
analysing things that aren't meant to be analysed.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have everything. But, yeah, it's made me think a bit more about, you know, what I do when I'm writing games and, like, considering maybe happier endings. Yeah, it's an interesting one. But, yeah, let us know your thoughts on happy endings, sad endings. What do you prefer? Ambiguous endings? And where can they do that, Drew?
Oh, God knows. I should have known that was coming. I have to say a thing now. I was just on autopilot. You can do that on, I guess the best place to get in touch with us is on Twitter at AreYouTheCast.
Yep.
You can also find us on GameIndustry.com in the podcast section. You can find us on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, we will be rateable and commentable, and we always love to receive comments.
Yeah, if you've enjoyed it, do give us a thumbs up or whatever the or a heart or whatever the thing is where you're listening, because it really makes a big difference to us.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening and all those good things.
Yeah, we love you.
We do. Yeah. And until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.